Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. Welcome. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. Brought to you by Global Schoolwear. Stylish school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, celebrating their 15th year of evidence-supported sports medicine. UK Health Radio, the world's largest health and wellness station. 1 to 2 million listeners a week, and populate electronic medical records with their specialty for the podiatry profession. We've got a great doubleheader, Eric Wabina. He's the president of the 1909 founded Baseball Blue Book, the one-stop-all baseball-needed info, and their new exciting app. He's returning along with Veronica Porter, Aunt V. She's a chef, an organic farmer, real food educator. Then it's the Sports Doctors In with some Dr. Bob Wisdom, your emails. Eric Wabina, in the middle of the World Series. Welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Well, hey, I appreciate you having me on. Thank you, and I hope you're doing well.
Eric, give us some background on yourself and Baseball Blue Book.
Well, I'm a sports enthusiast. I love baseball, my favorite sport. I always tell everyone it's the thinking man's game. The October time is the best time of the year for baseball, and we've got a great World Series going on now. And really, background is just really growing up loving the game and really, you know, just being part of it, everything that it brings to your entire life. And but the Baseball Blue Book, it's been part of our family and part of our life for a long time, and we just wanted to continue to expand what the Baseball Blue Book has been. Obviously, being the most comprehensive directory since 1909, it's been the official directory for the Major League Baseball scouting departments for most of those years. And I wanted just to continue that and open it up and allow others that are fans and players and parents and whomever is part of baseball to be part of kind of a hub for baseball.
You know, it's interesting. When we first had you on, you've been on numerous times, and we talked about Blue Book. I asked you which was older, the Baseball Blue Book or the automobiles that you read about all the time. But, you know, again, the challenges of baseball at all level, international game, of course, the American game, youth baseball, the tremendous questions, colleges, coaches, all of these different pieces of information that people would have. And I guess, believe it or not, you know, all those years ago, Baseball Blue Book, who came up with that idea?
Well, you know what? I believe it was, I'm looking at an old book. It's called the Hilbrahmer in Fort Wayne, Indiana. So this was a guy that wanted to put together kind of all of the information, the rules, the regulations, the leagues, and kind of a single place to go. I mean, the term Blue Book is kind of a directory in terms, and making it the Baseball Blue Book. So it was a great idea, and I think it's a great idea today. There's a lot of changes that are happening from every level of baseball. And, you know, being that there's a lot of complexity and understanding and staying on top of what's going on in baseball is part of loving the game. And that's what the Baseball Blue Book is all about. Just continuing with that legacy, bringing the information that people need to hear, and then just continuing to support the greatest game in American history.
Of course, I'm excited. It's my honor to be part of the Board of Advisors in the world of sports medicine, fitness, and wellness, along with my colleague on the board, the Chicago Bulls, Chicago White Sox, Team Orthopedist, Dr. Brian Cole. And again, you know, when you watch the World Series and you'll see 6'8", 260 pounds, outfielders and shortstops, and you'll go back in pictures, you'll look at Willie Mays, Mickey Mantle, and Hank Aaron, they're like 5'11", 195 pounds. So the physical aspects, the bigger, faster, stronger, are big challenges. And we want Baseball Blue Book to be the leader in the educational side of, number one, safety and preventing injuries, and number two, we're indicated, high performance, step or two quicker, better athlete, all of these kinds of challenges. So it's great to see Baseball Blue Book including that, along with other experts that you've worked with on and off for a while. One of my past guests, of course, did some radio stuff with you, Walter Beatty, and his long history in the world of baseball. So you've put together quite a team, haven't you?
I have, and it's exciting because the legacy of baseball, I've talked to people that have coached for 50 years, and I've also talked with coaches that are just getting started. But I wanted to give you kind of a comparison of what makes baseball just the most amazing sport. You just mentioned, I'm assuming that you're referring to Aaron Judge being 6'8", you know, 260.
He's one of them, right.
but you know, I think all your listeners know that the hero of last night's game was 5'9" and 180 pounds. So it's pretty unique from that perspective that you can get an Anthony Volpe from New York. Man, this kid is a superstar in the making. And, you know, it goes back to the health and understanding your role in the game and making sure that you are contributing when you need to contribute. So it's just an awesome game.
Yes. And the interesting, one of the greatest sports trainers over the years, a couple of different times, we had various guests on, and they mentioned the fact that with all the sports they worked with, the best athletes they saw were baseball players. That really surprised me when I first heard that. Bob Guida was one of them, the late, great Bob Guida, who I spent 40 years with. So sometimes people don't realize all that goes into the particular sport and the kinds of challenges that many times that we see. And a big part of it is, I call it on the sports doctor, Eric, the mental game. And this is such a huge part of all areas, whether we're talking the best athlete in the world, the coach, the parents, the kids, all these mixtures that go into, you know, what it takes to become a professional is quite a road with its series of challenges, isn't it?
It absolutely is. You know, I love what you brought up in the mental side and the most intelligent. You know, obviously, I'm biased. I think the baseball players are the smartest and the most physically fit and all those things. But if you think about it, the season, you know, you have to manage the up and down just like you do in normal life. It's a long season. They learn how to pick themselves up after failure. You know, a lot of coaches, they like to say it's a game of failure. And learning how to fail and winning in the midst of that. You know, the Yankees down 3-0, come back and have an amazing game. They have to put everything that they did in the last three games behind them and move forward. And boy, that's just like life. You gotta keep picking yourself up and keep moving forward. So the mental side of the game is critical. We're hearing there's a lot of talk today about the challenges on the mental side, and there's so much help out there. So I encourage people to check the Baseball Blue Book out. We've got a lot of podcasts. We've got great information. And we really are focused on the mental side,
the physical side. What's the best site to find out all the information?
Well, you can go to it's baseballbluebook.com. We are on both the App Store and Google Play. It's a free app. Anybody and everybody is welcome. And it's really an expanded directory. We've got all the best baseball podcasts in our directory. We've got great vendors. We've got great mental skill people. We've got them all. And so,
you know,
our
funny
goal,
when we're talking the mental game, the late great Jim Vickery, sports psychologist colleague of mine in the 80s and 90s, didn't even use the word psychology in his title because it scared everybody away. What do you think? Something wrong with me? and the great Eric Soderholm, who was the first Chicago White Sox baseball player that I put orthotics in his cleats, he had a hypnotist, Harvey Mizell, working with him with the White Sox. They thought he was nuts. Today, this is all a big included part of the whole mental game as we talk about so many areas including faith and including some of these other things. Yep. And but again, when parents are trying to think, you know, what school should my son, he's talented, go to, or who are the best coaches, or where's the scholarships, or, you know, what about this injury or that? This is one of the things they can really find out among many with Baseball Blue Book, right?
That's absolutely right. You know, there's so many aspects to it, and we just want to be a central hub. We want to be a place that we bring everybody together. We tell everybody that we're agnostic. We're really not favoring anything. We want to make sure that our customers have got all the best information and that they can and help them make the best decisions that they have. I wanted to say one thing about the mental aspect. A lot of it was all positive. There's a lot of challenges today on the negative side, and I always encourage people to make sure that you better be watching your kids. Make sure that they're mentally strong. It's not just get to the gym and get physically strong, but making sure that your kids are mentally strong and understand what has to happen and what they need is so important today. There's just so many things going on.
The pressure is gigantic, Eric. It's why I co-authored the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, because of the fact of the both physical and mental overuse injuries are off the charts in youth sports because of too much, too aggressive. You know, one of my longtime guests, matter of fact, the Yankees team doctor, Dr. Chris Ahmad, was just recently talking about the 50th year anniversary of Tommy John surgery and the tremendous, you got 20 guys on each team throwing 95 miles an hour, unheard of.
Yep.
And all these arm problems and whatever. So the overuse side, either too much, too scheduled, too aggressive, this is one of the biggest challenges in youth sports. What are some of the different ages? Are you 3 to 93 information for Baseball Blue Book, Eric?
Yeah, it's funny. I wanted to make a comment on that. One of the guys I have had on, he's with the ID Evolution, and his name is Chad Miller. He compares baseball players to bears, and bears go into hibernation so that they can build up their strength and their resilience for the next year. And so he always says, if you're a baseball player, act like a bear. This time right now, we're getting to the time to start hibernating, shut things down, and let your body heal.
I call it intelligent rest when we're talking about preventing injuries or trying to stay out of trouble. But rest and recovery, I'm glad you brought that up. That the bear analogy is an interesting one. But huge topic, rest and recovery.
Yep.
In all sports, and baseball, again, is no deal. You're talking 162 games and almost year-round. And the ex-Yankees Cardinal pitcher, Lou Vickery, his pitching coach was Whitey Ford. Lou had a show called Lou in the Morning in the Panhandle. I used to show up once a month on the Sports Doctor's Inn, and he would talk about the year-round pressure with these young baseball players and the fact that they were all getting hurt. It was just too much. So this is why we also want Baseball Blue Book to be a major hub of sports medicine education, again, both physically and mentally.
Absolutely. No, we appreciate the information and the insight that you bring, because it's an absolutely major component to the game of baseball, and parents can help through that process. Kids don't know. Kids just want to go out there and perform. But we need to have that advice and information, and that's what we're all about, providing people information.
Well, the late, and of course, as a sports podiatrist, I tell everybody out there, strengthen those feet and ankles, my friends. I don't care how good an athlete you are. And work on balance. Work balance. But the late Jim Vickery would have some advice for you sports parents out there. Very simple. Number one was don't be a critic. Don't be analyzing your kid's game on the way home in the car ad nauseum. And number two, be a good listener. How's the teammates? How's the coach relationship? Is the young boy or girl always hurting and whatever? And again, you know, girls are becoming, girls softball, before we turn around, it's going to be as big as baseball, Eric.
Yep. It's amazing. It's our next venture. We're starting to add softball to the Baseball Blue Book. We're excited because, you know, these softball girls, they, they, they're just as passionate as the young people are about baseball. So
yeah, they're good as players. Quick shout out to our colleague Noah Perlis, who's helped us in so many different ways, putting lots of different aspects of this new venture with baseball Blue Book together. So a lot of exciting stuff happening with your app, huh, Eric?
Man, it is great. We just launched a couple of new features. I encourage people to check them out. We've got a whole long list of new ones coming out at the end of the year that is going to bring some team management components to it, allow people to really find really the Baseball Blue Book app as their central hub for from travel teams to collegiate to recruiting to just being a place where you can put your highlights and keep everything baseball in a single place so that you can have it forever.
And you work with from Little League to senior leagues with information,
absolutely,
don't you?
Absolutely. You know, that's what I was just mentioning. You know, if it's your first ball game, maybe it's the first one that you've gone to with a parent. It's a great place to capture that memory. And
Eric,
maybe
I knew the time would fly with us. Give us the site again. People could find out about the app and everything, Baseball Blue Book.
That's great. BaseballBlueBook.com. It's BSBL Blue Book on the new X, formerly Twitter, and it's at Baseball Blue Book on Instagram. We've got a lot of exciting things. You can join our newsletter. We're on Substack, Baseball Blue Book News. So we appreciate the opportunity. Dr. Bob, thank you.
Great. Eric Wabita, he's the president, Baseball Blue Book. Eric, hold on. We'll be right back, everybody. Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, Hey Sports Parents.
The station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Kiss me quick.
Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Back, it's the Sports Doctor. I want to welcome back longtime guest Veronica Porter, the original Aunt V, who's a chef. She's an organic farmer. She's a real food educator. Veronica, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
It is lovely to be back. Thank you so much for inviting me.
I'm trying to remember how many years ago it was you initially on. Of course, Veronica and I were on the same bus with Naperville, Illinois residents. Evan Lysacek celebrating his Olympic gold medal. I can't believe we're going to be celebrating it 15 years in February since he won.
That's how long it's been, Doctor.
Yes. Veronica, give us some Aunt V background on you and everything you're doing in the world of nutrition.
Well, I'd be happy to. I was blessed to be born and raised in Naperville with parents that really were ahead of the actually, they weren't ahead of today's standards, but they were ahead of all as far as the importance of how and where what you eat and the importance of its taste profile and its nutritional value. So we always were, they were third-generation organic farmers, even though they didn't call themselves that back then. It was just doing what you're supposed to do. And I just was raised that way, and it wasn't until actually I left for college that I started realizing that most people aren't concerned about what they eat and the importance of it and how they understanding
that's changed, hasn't it?
Yes, it definitely has, and thankfully it has. But there's so much more to change. But people many people have been born and raised, you know, for generations without knowing where your food comes from. Knowing the impact.
That's one of the interesting dichotomies and challenges is on the one hand, there's been such tremendous growth in the world of nutrition, dietitians, professionals, you know, from professional sports teams to all sorts of information. Very exciting. At the same time, childhood obesity, which I've talked about on the Sports Doctor for like 30 years, give or take a few weeks, or
yes,
obesity in general, we're in as bad a shape basically as we've ever been. And that's one of the crazy parts of a lot of this. This is why the awareness and education, you mentioned something very interesting, right? Whoever heard the term organic farmer before so many years ago, what's the history of Aunt V?
Well, Aunt V, and this is kind of interesting because my background was actually through education was in architectural engineering and international business. I know, but I did get to travel quite a bit and meet people from all around the world. And as a result of that, when I started having children and I started seeing the poor quality of the food that was provided for children, I was like, there's no way I'm feeding this to my children. So not only, but again, it had been a natural thing I've been doing my whole life based on my family life, and that I started making all my children's food and advocating for the standards on a state and federal level of what organic meant, so that if you went to the grocery store, you could get good quality food. And again, we're talking, you know, several years back. And as a result of that, I was asked to be on the board for Building a Healthier Chicago. And I donated my time to the Chicago Public School Systems to help build organic community gardens at the schools and teach them how to cook with it. And just seeing how much they were interested in learning about it, but also realizing on all socioeconomic levels how little they understood it, I just at one point decided I'm going to go back and get my culinary license, my master's in organic farming, and just so I have the credentials to start teaching it. And as a result, it evolved. I got so many requests that I made a career out of it.
You know, the school systems is something we talk about on the Sports Doctor, Veronica, all the time, whether it's, again, in the organized sports programs, whether it's the park district kinds of things, but in all of these areas of needed education, whether it's injury prevention, whether it's all of these different areas, the tremendous mental side of things, mental health kinds of challenges. But we always felt that the school systems, when it came again to nutrition, had a lot to learn. We could all remember many times what the school served it up. How are they doing as far as making these kinds of changes that are so important in your experience? Have you found good cooperation with the school systems, whether it's the champion systems like locally in the Naperville, Illinois area or the Chicago? Are they picking up the slack here?
There are certain parts of the country that are doing a great job. It's partly promoted, or you know, by the per the request of parents, being a little bit more like we need to feed our children healthier food other than the prepared processed food that's very, very all too common in the school food systems. The problem is that it's not taking, in my opinion, it's not taking over anywhere near where it needs to be. The children would rather have a candy bar than an apple. They'd rather have a hot dog maybe than some fresh vegetables. So we are continuing to work on it, but there's always
hope. Generation, you know, our generation and our kids' generation with fast food is, you know, such a big, big part of everybody's life. And then again, mm-hmm. of course, at the same time, you can't watch television for 3 minutes. If you don't see a drug commercial, you see a diet commercial. It's such a
exactly.
big part of the culture. And this is why three areas on the Sports Doctor are such a big deal. Number one being awareness of whatever the heck we're talking about, the challenges or what's going on, what the topic is, the educational side of things and the action side of things.
Mm-hmm.
But that's been a real, real challenge. When you're talking about timing and convenience, everybody's in a hurry. Maybe they think that cooking takes too long. I know that you're spending time with classes teaching organic cooking, right? In garden classes?
Exactly. I teach cooking classes down in downtown Naperville. I share space with Liam Brecks, which is a cabinet design showroom. And on nights and weeknights and Saturdays, I teach classes there. And I also do classes, go around to certain facilities, whether they be nursing homes or schools or garden groups or whatever, to teach them how they can grow the food. And then once they grow it, I'm being very, very optimistic, and I keep on pursuing education. But so many people will think, well, I grew a tomato there, I did it, now I'm done. And then they'll go back and they'll eat their french fries or they'll eat their processed food, and they don't realize that it's a continuum. Start small. Just start with one ingredient or changing up whatever it is, but to start growing your own food so that you know exactly where it comes from, the nutritional value of that food, which should be grown in soil. The soil feeds the roots grow the plant grows the produce, whether it be vegetable or fruit. And by creating the natural, and then the microbiome in the soil matches the microbiome in your digestive system or your gut. So what we're doing, and then also the fact that the process of growing creates the necessary carbon drawback, which benefits the entire planet.
What about in
planet?
A climate like ours, Veronica, where, you know, you're talking, how can you grow things when it's 10 degrees out? But what can be done indoors that contributes to the same things you're talking about?
Well, indoors you can plant things in food-grade containers. I mean, there are plenty, plenty very, very good food-grade containers, whether they be terracotta or they be there's a variety of different ceramic-type containers that you can grow them in. And again, you have to think, no, I'm not going to grow corn, I'm not going to grow tomatoes or watermelon, things like that, but you can grow fresh greens, you can grow fresh herbs, you can grow certain types of organic heirloom variety fruits and vegetables that, so it's going to be a little bit of a downscale of what you're going to grow in the winter, but you still can continue growing. We have a concept or mindset in that has been developed by the industrial agricultural facilities that we grow one or two monocrops. We start in the spring, we end in the fall, and then we sit and we wait until it's delivered. We live in a time that we can go to the grocery store and we can get just about any fruit or vegetable, which has its benefits, but it means that that fruit or vegetable was probably picked and shipped before it was fully ripe and fully fresh. So that means by the time it gets here, it has the appearance of ripe. It's no longer fresh because it probably came from South America or somewhere. And then that, but there's nothing wrong with that with certain things, but there are also some things that are seasonal. You just enjoy them.
Yeah, that surprises sometimes people. That's why the importance of education. Is there a website or where people could find out more information about your classes and Aunt V and stuff?
There sure is. It's called AskAuntV.com. And on there is my schedule of classes. There's different programs that I'll be teaching, and you can get all the information and all the contact information as well. We also, I just like to say, we start because I believe education starts as soon as you possibly can. We have Mommy and Me classes that start at 2 years old. And we have two-year-old, we have junior chef, teens, and tween classes, as well as adult classes.
Yes, great stuff. You know, the founder of Chop Chop Magazine, which is in every pediatric office in so many around the country, Sharon was a longtime guest of mine over the years, about the exact point you just mentioned, which was the participation of the family or the kids being involved, learning about these principles, eating healthy, such a big deal. It's funny because exercise is the same thing where you get participation of the family becomes such an important ingredient. So that's something that you pay. What's it called? Mom and Me?
Mommy and Me.
Cute.
So we start at 2 years old, and that up until five or six is with the parents or with the grandma or grandpa or cousin, Aunt Martha, whoever. And then we have junior chef, tweens, and teens. So that, and they get a little bit more involved. But just the fact that sometimes I've had so many people tell me as adults, oh, I don't like this or that. And I'll say, and our food memories are our strongest. So if you had something that you was unpleasant because it wasn't grown right or it wasn't prepared properly, that impression is going to be a negative impression of that fruit or vegetable. Whereas if you take it and you get it when it's at its peak of its freshness and you prepare it properly at the peak of its taste profile, it might be a world of difference. Also with my cooking classes is we go through how to cut the exact same thing, perhaps an onion or a garlic, and we show that by cutting it different ways, it not only tastes different, but it also has different nutrition.
Happened to me, man. I grew up with the broccoli, ended up loving it. We're talking with Veronica Porter. We'll be right back. Talk more about all of this. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody. Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody, we're back. We're talking with Veronica Porter and V, the whole world of organic farming, really healthy food, what it takes. The education that's involved to learn more about not only growing, but some of the different advantages, to say the least. You were talking about young children. You know, you also mentioned you do some talks. You've been involved, you know, some senior centers. I would imagine nursing homes and assisted living, another big area of challenge, Veronica.
Oh, definitely. On a couple different levels. The first level is that there are in a facility that many times have prepaid, they have food. Everybody gets the same. They're not necessarily making selections based on just somebody's preference. And then the other thing is that you have with the age group that a lot of people did grow their own food or prepare their own food all throughout their lives until they did go to the facility. So they, if they were somebody that was actively involved in the preparation of their food throughout their lives, they might have a wonderful, beautiful history. That's my favorite part, is asking them, if we're making maybe an apple pie or something like that, say, okay, tell me what you used to do with apples when you were little or something like that. And then, I get all these wonderful ideas and recipes and stories from the men and women. And then the other side is that if they were never taught, which always kind of makes me, breaks my heart a little bit, is that they might have lived their entire life not being able to understand and participate the wonderful benefits of a good, healthy diet.
Now,
and for me, a good, healthy diet.
A former First Lady, Michelle Obama, made such a big deal about the including gardens and schools and that whole different area. She made such a big deal out of it. I think it made a big difference in a lot of ways, but out of sight, out of doing, you know?
Well, the thing is that teaching them at that level is very, very important, and teaching them at the schools and getting them to do, like I said, to get them to taste perhaps a tomato or fresh lettuce or whatever and showing them how to prepare it properly makes such a huge difference. And it's important that they learn. We live in a society that about two, maybe three decades ago, the idea of time efficiency and preparation took over the benefit of the nutritional value of the food we were eating and how long it stayed on the shelf at the grocery stores and things like that, where we used to have corner stores that you would go in and you were buying the bread that was maybe made that morning in the back of the bakery is now something that's made and it might be on the shelf for a very, very long time. It's sad to say that sometimes this on there for months.
You know, it's interesting, again, on the highest end of high performance, while we're watching the World Series and these great athletes, your topic, organic eating, farming, preparation, the top of the line of nutrition, is a big deal and is included. There's sports nutritionists on every team in so many ways, and I think a lot of them are really, really including a lot of the concepts you're talking about when it comes, again, to, high-performance eating and recovery.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The food that you eat, like I mentioned earlier about that you grow in soil, the soil feeds because the soil has all of the nutrition. It has all of the different elements that you need that your body needs. And it it feeds the roots, which feed the plant, which grows the plant.
No wonder Martha Stewart's talking all the time about the soil.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing is that you then take it and it's just really been in the last 10, maybe 15, 20 years that the medical community and research community has started to finally listen to the fact what we eat matters and it has to taste good as well as be good for you. I am not going to teach anybody something that it may be the healthiest thing in the world, but if it tastes like cardboard, I'm not eating it, and I don't expect you to.
Right. Well, I'm glad you brought that up because both the pediatric as well as all areas of the medical profession, it's funny, chiropractic medicine always paid big attention to diet as well as exercise when regular medicine ignored, both areas. But I think that medicine really has caught on, has become a tremendous teammate in the area of nutrition. And again, changing some of these habits, making a difference, when you have so much bombardment of information, again, with diets, and now you got injections, and now you got drugs getting involved in so many different ways. It really is challenging.
It is very challenging, and the thing that we have to keep very much in aware of, it's how and where your food is grown. You can't, it's just because you're buying lettuce that you can go to the grocery store and the produce department might be half of the store. If it hasn't been grown properly, it's not going to give you the
That's a big key, you know, out of this whole conversation. That's one of the most important points you're making, which is, again, even if you have all of this intention with organic and eating well, et cetera, how it's grown, what you're talking about, and being involved in that process, and it makes so much sense.
It makes such a difference. And organic is the method in which it is grown. There's a whole series of requirements for that. But heirloom is what is most important. And most people think of heirloom tomatoes, but every single fruit and vegetable is heirloom. And what heirloom means is that it has never been modified, and it's true from generation to generation. So the standard generally right now is that it's 100 years old before they started modifying them. But really, it goes back to the beginning of time as God created them, because they were planted.
Heirloom, what is heirloom? How do you spell heirloom?
H-E-I-R-L-O-O-M.
Okay. And what's that definition?
It means that it's never been modified. Okay, because we have to be very careful, because it's not necessarily, there's certain processes that you're going to have your open air pollinators, that which means you have a red plant, and you have a white plant, and you get a pink plant. That's a natural process. But to take it and actually change the DNA of the plant and or the seed means that even grafting it, a lot of times they'll graft plants to different, like a tomato plant to a pepper plant. It'll grow the tomato the first year, but the seeds won't necessarily grow the same tomato. So you need to get heirloom in it. Every single fruit and vegetable has heirloom varieties, and we need to keep them going and growing. About, I would say, 30 years ago is when we started getting involved in preserving them. But when we had the great migration of the immigration of the late 1800s, almost every person came with seeds in their pocket from whatever corner of the world they came from. So they knew that they'd have something to eat and they could carry it with them. And so they would come, and that we had such an explosion of amazing fruits and vegetables at the turn of the 1900s.
Wow.
But then they started to break them down. So that now you go to the big box stores and they maybe have four varieties of tomatoes or cauliflower or whatever it is you're trying to buy. And there's a multitude of varieties that are available worldwide.
I knew the time would fly by with you as far as the confidence in some of the Whole Foods or the Trader Joe's, whatever, but we've been flying by here. So give us that website where people can find out about you and your classes and education, Veronica.
Okay, it's askantv.com.
Initial V, right?
Website.
Ask Aunt, initial V, right?
I beg your pardon?
The initial V.
Right, initial V is in Veronica.
Okay.
So it's Ask Aunt. It's ASKAUNT, V as in Veronica, .com. And then I have all...
Perfect.
Pardon?
Thank you so much,
All right,
Veronica.
Thank
Hold
you
on.
So
Great
much.
Stuff. Hold on, everybody. We'll be back with the Sports Doctors in.
The station that makes you feel good.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world, and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Dr. Bob, School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody, we are back. It is the Sports Doctor is In segment where we preview some upcoming guests, topics, and we add a little Dr. Bob wisdom, answer a few emails, stuff like that. Great guest coming up next week, live from Australia. Sue Williams will be returning the topic of sports hypnosis. Another fascinating area in the areas of sports medicine and sports performance. Then David Collier will join us. And his series, Ecocide, whether it's global warming, whether it's all sorts of world challenges in so many different areas, this guy's got a fascinating group of information on all of, again, what he calls Ecocide. Interesting stuff. Following week, emergency room physician, Dr. Josh McConkey, will be with us. He is a member of the former member of the armed forces, and we'll be talking about all areas of importance, topics that he probably come across in the emergency room in so many different areas. Mark Prensky will join us the following week. The whole topic of kids challenges, the different kinds of inclusions of emails involving all areas of children's lives, such tremendous attention on the world of mental health, like we talk about on the Sports Doctor. Great guests, great topics coming up. Some Dr. Bob wisdom. I mentioned it during the show for Hey Sports Parents, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, book I co-authored with Hall of Fame volleyballer, kinesiology professor, Sharkey Zartman. Jim Vickery, the late Jim Vickery, sports psychologist, we would go to so many different meetings with parents and coaches and talking about keeping the kids safe, both mentally and physically. And he had a couple of very important recommendations for parents, particularly sports parents. And number one was don't be a critic. Don't be analyzing your son or daughter's activities and achievements on the ride home in the car. And be a good listener. Are they dealing with any injuries? Are they hurting? How's their relationship with their coach? What about the relationship with their teammates? Are they having fun? How's it going? So two great pieces of information for sports parents with any sport, any area, or any age at any level, which is to be not a demanding critic, analyzer, and being a good listener. Pat says, I'm 60 years old. I started getting very involved with pickleball. I love it, but my foot ankle's been bothering me. I was diagnosed with retrocalcaneal bursitis. You know, Pat, I wrote an article in 2021 for one of my sponsors, Lower Extremity Review, LER Magazine, and the article was Pickleball is Physical. At my own gym, I started seeing a couple of years ago at the beginning of pickleball. And when I wrote the article in 2021, most doctors didn't know how to spell it, let alone knew what we were dealing with. How many seniors were jumping in to the sport of pickleball?
And again, with some changing direction, fast movements, all sorts of activity, and maybe they weren't ready. A lot of them weren't for these kinds of activities. You know, people would compare it to tennis, but people who played tennis in the 60s and 70s didn't just pick it up. They had been playing their whole life, forever, and in many instances were much more ready for the kinds of physical demands. Retrocalcaneal bursts are fluid sacs that help reduce friction at the attachment of tendons to bone. The Achilles tendon attaching to the back of the heel, there's a bursa protecting that area. When it's aggravated from too much pressure, from various kinds of reasons, could be foot mechanic involved, high arches, flat feet, the wrong shoes, et cetera, getting irritated. So, Pat, we want to use this as an example, again, with your treatment, with strengthening of the feet and ankles, working on balance, upper extremity exercise. You need to be a better athlete, not a superstar. You don't have to be in the gym every day, but you got to be paying attention to strengthening and exercise if you want to play pickleball, especially if you're a senior. Jones says my 14-year-old daughter has been playing club volleyball since she's 11 years old. And again, she's had ongoing problems with her knees. You talk a lot about the relationship of feet to knees. I sure do, Joan. And the point is, for decades, from the Olympic level on down, when I've been involved in the world of volleyball, I was prescribing orthotics for female knee problems with great success. The female anatomy, the wider hips, there's a larger, what's called Q angle, the angle between the femur, the long bone of the leg, and the knee, and the foot mechanics has an excessive role in relationship to that. The overpronated foot that flattens excessively increases torque on the knee. Anybody who's watched volleyball knows how physical that sport is. There's more jumping in volleyball than almost any other sport. Matter of fact, over the years, the late, great Bob Guida, who was the strength and conditioning coach at the Olympic level, would tell me often that the highest jumpers he would see, vertical leap, weren't basketball. It was volleyball. So much jumping. So include podiatry in whether the physical therapy or orthopedist that you're dealing with to pay big attention to your daughter's foot mechanics. And if she's got a history of knee trouble, even if she has perfect feet, orthotics can really, really make a difference. So check that out. A couple of shout-outs here with my guest appearances once a month with the great show out of British Columbia called Run With It with Christine Blanchet. Been doing that over 5 years. And my colleague in the world of tennis, ex-baseball pitcher with the Yankees and Cardinals, Lou Vickery. He had a show in Florida, Alabama Panhandle called Lou in the Morning. I'd show up once a month with the Sports Doctors in. Now we're working with some senior tennis, preventing injuries. What's your racket? Check it out on YouTube. Thanks, everybody. See you next week. It's the Sports Doctor. Happy Halloween.